time together. We thank you for all of the word and encouragement in 1 Peter. Continue to speak to us. Let's continue to the next point. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go into depth in every point of the outline, but afterwards we can use the outline to go into more depth. 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 to 9. Let's read this together. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 9. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. They continue on, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. This is really the Lord's desire, that we are watchful in our prayer. Many of us can see that we are in a time of the end of all things. We've talked a lot about what's going on in the world. All over the world, you see what's going on in society, in politics, even in Christianity. So many things are being prepared. And the end of all things is truly at hand. And if you are at the end, it's important to be focused on what is truly important. If you're at a place for just a short time, then you ask yourself, okay, what's really important right now in this short time? What do I need to focus on? And here he says, to be serious in prayer so that we can understand the will of God. It's very important to have a time of prayer with God, to understand His purpose. Lord, what do you want now? What do you want for me now? And in this passage, Peter talks about serving, ministering. It's an encouragement and a reprimand to serve in God's house. This is really important to God in the end times. In verse 8, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. That's how he starts, on how to show us how to serve in the house of God. It starts with love. We need this love among one another. When you look at the sequence of things in Peter, right? At the end of 2 Peter, you see the end. But it just doesn't appear out of nowhere, but you have to work for it with perseverance, self-control. You work up to it. And at the very end, there's the brotherly love, and then there's the unconditional love of God. It's a goal, but it's so important. When we serve in God's house, maybe things work out well, and it's like a well-oiled machine, or it works like clockwork. Things just go on. It could also be that Maybe it's not working so well. Love is like oil for the machine that things run smoothly. So when we are serving in the house of God, it should be full of love. For love covers a multitude of sins. There are many aspects. I just want to mention one aspect. For example, if you love your wife, maybe she doesn't misunderstands you or makes a mistake. I don't want to make a big deal about it. Our love will cover it up. And also in the church life, when we are serving, if I love a brother and I'm serving, I'm not going to start talking bad about him or openly speaking about all of his sins. If I love a brother, then maybe I can accept his mistakes. Maybe there's a brother who's older and he's very experienced, and he might think, well, I am somebody. And then someone corrects this brother or criticizes this brother. Maybe I don't feel like it fits what the brother says. And as brothers receiving criticism, we need to want to know the Lord and see the Lord. And if it bothers me when a brother criticizes me, I need to be reminded that the Lord's love also covers the multitude of my own sins. Peter himself, imagine, in his situation, he walked with the Lord. He took Peter and two others with him upon the mountain. And then after the Lord died, Peter helped build up the church. And then they experienced much persecution. And then later, one brother who was persecuting the church, Saul, ended up being a brother. And then Paul later accused Peter in front of all the brethren and said, wow, you should not be so hypocritical. Wow. I'm sure that really hit Peter hard to be exposed in front of all the brothers who came to become a Christian much later than Peter himself. But Peter had the Lord in front of his eyes. He knew Paul loves the Lord. He takes it seriously. And that's why in his second epistle, he says to our beloved brother Paul. Peter put the epistles of Paul at the same level and esteem as the other books that were written in the Bible. That means Peter saw that this brother is really going on. I'm sure that Peter saw that not everything that Paul did was perfect. We are all brothers, sisters who make mistakes. But if you see that the brother or sister loves the Lord, then I want to have a love for this brother and not say to the others, whisper, oh, look what they're doing. Our old self always wants to justify our actions, but the love can cover a multitude of sins. In verse 9, it continues, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Hospitality is mentioned often in the New Testament. Sometimes it says we should be hospitable to strangers. In this way, some saints have taken in angels without being aware of it by being hospitable. How much more among those whom we know in our serving in the house of God, should we show hospitality? In today's society, everything is very self-centered. Me, myself, and I, everything's about me. There's not a lot of hospitality. That's why the Lord has to reteach us how to be hospitable. I was very impressed when I was younger. I read about a brother from China, and he experienced a lot. And he said at the time when he lived, he wanted something for himself. Then he noticed, Lord, not just for me, but also for my brothers. He needed a new razor, so instead of just buying one, he bought five razors, because not only do I need a razor, but the other brothers need a razor too. Here it says to be hospitable to with one another without grumbling, without complaining. Where does the grumbling and complaining come from? Isn't it often because I am self-centered? Because I have to give up something of myself? I have to give up something to be hospitable? Maybe I have to give up something that I wanted to eat myself. In Philippians, it's really precious to see, don't do anything for out of selfishness or for vain honor, but in being humble, hold the other higher than yourself. Maybe I think, first it's me. I think I'm higher and the others are below me, so I take care of myself first and then I take care of the others. But in Philippians, he says, to behold the others higher than yourself and higher esteem than yourselves, and to carry the burden of the others. In order to do that, we need more Christ, because this is not our natural being, but in our spirit, it's such a joy. The Lord, He led such a love. This mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. Even though He was in the image of God, He humbled Himself, gave up everything for us. That's really strong. Not to be grumbling, not to be complaining among ourselves, not to have a selfish love, but to have a love that freely gives. There are many examples in the scripture of this. We have to learn to give. In Matthew 24, he says, blessed is every servant whom the Lord finds giving out food when he returns. It has to do with our love to the Lord. It depends upon how much we see of the Lord. Peter himself, he had this encounter with the Lord where the Lord said, do you love me? Then shepherd my sheep. Do you love me? Shepherd my flock. That's what love means, to shepherd in practical matters and also in spiritual matters. It's good to see that the Lord supplies us so that we can give. In Europe, we live in a very materialistic society. Everyone wants to have the best and the greatest for themselves, to enjoy it for themselves, to become something in your profession, in your career, the way you go on vacation. You need a lot to have a lot. But the Lord says we should give a lot. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says
that als die, die nichts haben und doch alles besitzen.
The
ja, das ist
2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. We were as poor, yet making many rich. He was poor, he didn't have many possessions, but yet he was able to make many rich. He's poor, but he continues to always give. To have such an attitude goes against our natural being, but the Spirit loves this kind of attitude. The Spirit loves to give. If you have the Lord before your eyes, it's no problem. When the Lord had the disciples around him, he said, look, there are so many people here, 5,000, 7,000, give them to eat. With 5 bread and 2 fish. Of course, you could say, Lord, how can we be hospitable with this? We only have 5 bread and 2 fish. That's not nearly enough to feed all these people. But they looked to the Lord, they broke it, and they gave it, and they passed it out. And in the end, there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. We should try this, to give more than we think we have, to see how rich the Lord can make us. Because the Lord, all things belong to Him. He gave us such a huge inheritance. We shouldn't be betrayed by the enemy who wants us to be focused upon our small materialistic goods. Often we compare ourselves. We like to compare ourselves. I have a joy sometimes to give, but then the enemy comes to me and says, look, the good friend with whom you went to college with, he's already so rich. He saved so much money, and all you did was spend your money on traveling to visit the saints. And now the guy you went to college with, he has bought a house in Stuttgart, which is incredibly expensive, and you can only afford to live rent. Then the enemy comes and says, look, you gave so much now. You don't have anything left for yourself. We should not fall into this trap. That comes from selfishness. Philippians 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. It's so much greater what the Lord has and what He wants to have. The Lord told Peter, if you love me, then shepherd my life. What did Peter want to achieve in his life? Did he want to go on the best vacation? Did he want this or that? His ambition was to serve his Lord, to serve Christ. We want to build up the holy priesthood today. What the Lord's heart's desire is from the beginning of time, he wants to build up a holy city. If you build a house, you have to do a lot of calculations. You have to make a lot of plans. You can't just pay for it out of your pocket. You look how your investments are. You have to look everything you have to do to build a house. And the Lord wants to build a heavenly city. And the question is, do we want to build this city? Is that our ambition? The more we see how glorious it is on what we are building, the more we will be willing to give all for it, because it's incomparable to anything else. It's such a joy to be hospitable. It's good to practice it, to train it. We're a small family. Sometimes I have the impression my son, he learns a lot more if we do it in front of him than if we tell it to him. My wife tells him at the playground, no, don't take away the toys from the others. You have to learn to share. He just says no. But if he sees how His mother is sharing the toys. Then he also wants to share toys. He wants to give things to the children. He wants to feed the ducks because he saw it as an example. He saw his mother doing it. And I think for us, it's also good. We think, I have to take care of my children. It's so good to invite saints, to invite new ones, to be an example that our children can see this hospitality. I receive so much blessing when my parents invited saints or gospel friends every Sunday for lunch. In my mind, in my memory, it seemed like every Sunday after the meeting, we had saints invited for lunch, and we talked about the experiences we made with the Lord. And for me to hear these experiences of the saints around the table from such a young age really filled me, was such a good example to me. If I had just been there alone, and my parents had given me everything that I needed, and on Sunday for lunch I was the center of attention, I don't think that would have been such a blessing. And that's actually already my burden, that we would receive hospitableness from the Lord, that we see how rich He is, that He has so much for us. I also was thinking of the song of a certain song in the last few days. Let us learn from the vine. The vine wants to be an example. Someone who had a very deep experience with the Lord wrote this song about the vine, showing that the vine can carry much fruit. You know, there are many branches. You want to look at this, you want to achieve that, this and that and everything. But then the vine is trimmed. That hurts. Today, we belong to the Lord. He made each and every one of us. Not only did he make us, but He redeemed us a second time with His precious blood. And yet, He still gives us the free choice, the voluntary choice to follow Him or not. He calls us, but He doesn't force anyone. When we get trimmed, sometimes we have to say, Lord, Lord, trim me. If I do everything that makes my heart joyful, then I have lots of branches on the vine, lots of green leaves, but I will have hardly any fruit. Maybe I will have enjoyed so much in my lifetime, but there is no fruit, nothing that I can put in the scale. So little glory gained. That's why it's good to tell the Lord, Lord, help me to cut off certain things in my lives, things that are only for myself, so that I can really have a pure joy when the fruit comes. It's the fruit brings so much more joy than all of the green leaves. At the end of our lives, the Bible says we will be measured. We will be weighed. Doesn't matter how much wine I drink, it will matter how much I gave. It doesn't matter how much joy you had, how much your soul enjoyed in life. That's good. The Lord gave us many things for the enjoyment of our souls, but at the end, it all won't count. But when I made others rich, what I gave others in Christ, that's what will have mass in the end. The offerings that we bring, if I bring them through the Lord, through Christ in us, that has an eternal weight of glory in the end. And we do that for the Lord. I once heard about someone. He was sad because he gave so much for the Lord, and at the end he said it was all in vain. supported a brother with money, and then that brother left the Lord, all in vain. But we should see, we should give it to the Lord. When we give it to the Lord. Some time ago, several among us had some difficulties where we were. In a certain way, many things got cut off. We had a burden at that time for many children with whom I was working for a long time, and I thought, the Lord is going on with them, and the Lord was working on them, we were serving them. And then we were told we're not allowed to serve the junior high and high schoolers anymore. And then I thought, wow. But the word that the Lord is showing us right now about the royal priesthood to bring the Father food as the offerings, that gave me so much joy. I said, I am so happy about every experience that I had in the time where I was able to serve these young people. They are your sheep. They're your flock. If you let them stay there and don't take them, let them come with me, amen. Even if I don't get any reward for it, I am thankful for every time and every experience I had serving these young ones. I thank the Lord for that. Christ in us is such an encouragement that we can give. His nature, his being is like that. He gave everything. He gave all. So I want to encourage all of us to exercise hospitality and to exercise to shepherd the flock, to shepherd the sheep. The Lord gave each one of us a gift that we can use. May the Lord show us what we can do, which gift we can use to give for the body of Christ. I love all of the brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, and I hope that we all make it to the goal. Amen.